Okay, everybody can just calm down and not panic, because I can assure you that HostGator is once again sponsoring today's show. HostGator is your one-stop website shop. It makes it simple to get your professional website online quick. Plans start at just $347 a month. Let's face it, guys, getting a good .com is hard to do. A .net domain powered by VeriSign, on the other hand, still has a ton of awesome names available. Get out there and get moving, guys. This is what you've got to do to have your domain on a website. It's time. Use HostGator's drag and drop builder or WordPress. No need to code. HostGator makes it easy. Get your site up and running with just a few clicks. I am almost done reading this copy. Guys, head over to HostGator.com, buy some hosting, get some .NETs, and use coupon code JVCLUB to get an extra 30% off and support this show. We have done it. This is how sponsorship works. Hey guys, welcome to episode 87 of the JV Club with Arden Marine. What a joy. What a joy this was. I am very excited about this episode. Listen, I don't know if you guys are going to get as much out of it as I did, because, and that is all due respect to Arden, it's just that we share a mind, as it turns out. And so the things that we got really excited about talking about, I can only hope is something that you all share in your minds. If not, you may be in trouble. But we really had a great time. Hope you like it. Shout out wise, of course, I want to give a shout out to Gabriel Diani and Edda Devine, who are doing a stellar job of keeping their Kickstarter campaign up and going for Diani and Devine Meet the Apocalypse. There are 10 days left in the Kickstarter campaign as of today. I'm recording this intro on Wednesday. That means tomorrow there are just 9 days left. And I think they've reached about half of their goal. So they've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. They got to do what they say can't be done. Oh, man, I do not quote that song often enough. So again, if you can know that you're contributing something towards two people who have working their tails off to make this a Kickstarter campaign that has a lot of incentive attached to it, so much creativity behind it with all of the little videos they've been shooting. I'm offering up signed Quora photos and Skype one-on-one conversations with fans and stuff like that. Everybody's just trying to figure out a way to rally and get this movie made, because, you know, it's just difficult to do that kind of thing when you don't have a big studio attached. And I want to see it happen for them. Totally get it if you guys don't have a couple bucks to spare, but if you do, or if you feel like throwing a little money their way, even the smallest amount helps. I guess this technically has now become like a total fundraiser intro, but I just did a show with them last night, and thanks to those of you who came out to that live show at Nerd Melt, and I was reinvigorated by their spirit and their passion for the project. So check that out, dtmta.com, Kickstarter, Diani and Devine Meet the Apocalypse. Then shout out wise for fans, I want to thank some Twitter folks. I want to thank Robert C, Erica L, Ian C, Maggie H. Maggie, I'm so glad you liked Heavenly Creatures. Paula S, Kama S, Celeste H, you just got an audiobook of Stranger with My Face. That is a book that I've mentioned on the podcast before. I'm very eager to hear what you think and if it holds up. It may have never even been up enough to be held up, but we'll see what you think. Leo K, you asked for a second Maggie Lawson episode. Listen, I don't blame you. Maggie is one of my favorite people in the world, so I wouldn't say that that's out of the question down the line. On Facebook, I want to thank Emily and Mandy for your messages. On Kate's Nerdist page so far, I've got Alec, Nicole, and Paul to thank. And then on Lennon's Nerdist page, I just wanted to go back and thank Todd, Amy, Angela, Michelli, Scott, PJ, Monia, and Jules by name, because you guys really weighed in with some great comments on that page. I think that's it, guys. I feels like the only other thing I want to acknowledge is just keep your eyes peeled for SF Sketchfest announcements. We're going to have an extraordinary lineup once again this year. We're getting very close to locking some stuff in. We'll be announcing in a few weeks, and that is what the majority of my time is taken up with now. So it's very much, very much on my mind indeed. And I look forward to hearing from you guys. I think we're going to be taking the Thanksgiving Thursday off, because I think that's sort of a general blanket plan on the Nerdist Network. But if that changes, I'll let you know. I hope everybody's doing well. Goodbye.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
ourselves down like deep it. Inside. Oh my God. It is recording. We're already in it. We're in it.
We're in it to win it.
Listen, this is not a contest.
Monday morning.
Well, we are going to win this.
We're going to win it.
Oh my God, we're doing Monday morning radio right
now. We're doing Monday morning radio. And I don't want to brag, but and I think you can relate. I'm groggy. I'm groggy from painting my apartment.
But you have painters and you're involved also? Is that what's happening?
Well, here's the deal. Let me be honest. Here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
Look at that.
The reason that you can't hear Arden right now is because she's opening up a crispy, burp-inducing
sparkling Arrowhead.
Yeah.
I have painters because I'm the messiest person on the planet. And
I'm also very messy.
I used to also like, I like design like you do, and I'm a night owl. So I would often late at night be like, I'm going to Home Depot. I've tried to like tile things.
Things that you have to really kind of have a sense of what you're doing.
I wainscoted a wall.
Oh, bless your heart.
Oh, it didn't turn out well. Yeah. So that's why I've realized.
We have the enthusiasm, but we don't have the patience aptitude.
No, I don't have the stick-to-itive. I always figure if I had like a contracting firm, it would be like little already not quite precise.
Yes,
I think.
Yes.
And like, I like to start things, but I don't want to finish it. And I'm not going to put up, first of all, I'm not going to put up painter's tape. It's going to be covered in paint.
That's not
it's just
happen.
I just like to try things. Sometimes they're successful and sometimes they're not, but you got to roll the dice.
I feel exactly the same way. I completely relate on all levels. I love to I love to start things. I get so excited about the prospect of like, I guess there's no reason I shouldn't create a giant collage or blah blah blah,
and 100%.
Then like, for sure something pulls me away and I'm like, it's not that I become uninterested in it or I don't like it anymore.
Sure.
It's not that.
Great.
But it definitely is like, God, I got a great start on that. I sure love that.
Yes.
I super will come back to that. And then like 6 months later.
Oh, and I'm not going to nail the execution. Let me just tell you, I'm going to start it and I'm going to realize I lack the technical skills. Here's the other thing. If I knew how to Photoshop, I would spend all day Photoshopping my friends' faces onto animal bodies. I have spent so much money hiring graphic designers. You know what? I know I have to give you a photo to put on here. I will give you a photo of my face morphed onto an American Girl doll photo.
Fantastic.
Because that to me, like, that's another thing. It's like, I just like making stuff, but I don't quite know how to do it.
Yeah.
And so I like nothing more than to morph faces onto animal eagle, like a eagle body, or a cat, like a cat.
Yep.
You know, I could put you on like a nice stallion pony, just rearing its head snow, right? It would be exciting.
It's funny you bring that up because this is a great opportunity for me to talk about Disneyland, as I seem to now be doing on every single podcast.
Break it down for me, my queen. Break it down, m'lady.
I just want to say that real quick, for those of you who might be in the Disneyland vicinity,
and very specifically
in New Orleans Square anytime soon in Disneyland, I was waiting outside of, I'm about to name drop Club 33 because I did get taken to Club 33, which was my first time going.
Never been, but I've heard about it.
Listen.
Tell me.
It's fine.
Okay.
It's just fine.
Okay.
It's lovely. It's great. I felt very delighted to finally be inside.
Did Val Kilmer bring you there?
Val Kilmer did not take me. I'm not dating Val.
Okay.
I did. It's quite charming and wonderful. Anything like that that's that exclusive or that you've been hearing about your whole life.
Yes.
It's very difficult. Like, I don't know what would have to happen. I'm already burping.
I can't wait. I'm going to have I'm going to power chug some so I can be burping with you.
There's no way, like, I don't know what would have had to happen for me to feel like this is exactly what I, but it's just a charming, great, bright, well-lit, I probably shouldn't even be saying, like, don't describe it because it's still, but like, it's just it's like a nice little place to have a meal. The food was lovely.
Yes.
It's neat to be, you know, in this place that Walt Disney designed, you know, but like you're already also in Disneyland. So you already know that like it's very much his vision and all that kind of stuff. So it was a total treat. I loved it. I'm so glad that I did it. But I definitely wasn't like, well, I guess I'm in the club now. Like this changed my life.
Yes.
It's just like it was totally great. And then also what was great was just being at Disneyland and going on all the rides that you love.
You
and
love
like
it.
Doing all that. But
while
I was standing outside of there.
Yes.
I looked over and there was in the window of this, like one of the little shops that's right there in New Orleans Square was a window display that could not have felt more like suddenly I wasn't at Disneyland anymore. And I was in Silver Lake.
Yes.
And
everything was like exactly what you just described. It was, but it was like old school Photoshop. What? So we're talking like almost like paper doll girl faces.
Oh my God.
Superimposed on like a moth. So it was like a moth with a paper doll face and like a baby, like creepy. I'm talking creepy. And not Disney at all. Like a super, like a fawn body.
Yes.
An old fawn painted picture body with like a baby doll, curly hair, girl head on the top. And that's I was like, where am I?
That's a woman who makes those who's like 90 years old and she's like, you know what? Maybe I should have had kids. Right. And then she's like, and so that's a, you know, yeah. And she's just like, and it's all of her moth babies. Like, you know what? Maybe I should have taken the time. And like, it's like a late life realization that she wanted a big family.
But don't worry, because she still puts them like in tiny like bird cages. Oh, like there were also, I mean, you know, it was very, it's like, or maybe there are some dried flowers in the window.
Yeah, they're not free to fly. They're not free to fly.
Where am I?
Oh my God.
Where am I? So if you're in that vicinity, I encourage you to look for that window because it just doesn't fit in.
That razzles me.
Everything else that you would expect, because you could even look across the little alleyway at New Orleans Square, you might see some like little figurines, some, like miniatures, but they're still like very benign, and like there isn't anything sort of like off and kind expectationsy and Dickensian about it. But this little window is very surprising.
Okay, I don't want to brag, but this was I had the greatest night of my life Friday night.
Oh, somehow just recently,
I got invited to, and I don't know how. Speaking of Disney. Somehow I got invited to the Saving Mr. Banks.
I'm seeing that tonight at a screening.
Sing-along at the Polo Lounge at the Beverly Hills Hotel with the man playing the piano who wrote It's a Small World.
Oh my gosh.
And all of like the Mary Poppins songs. And he played them. He's alive. He was amazing. He wrote, his name is Richard Sherman. He wrote them with his brother, Robert Sherman. And there was this I don't know why I was invited. I went with Michael Hitchcock, who is incredible, who does improv with you.
Yeah.
And we went and we, so it was like, and then we saw Mickey Rooney, Sean Penn, and like I never thought I'd be in it. It was like the oddest assembly. It's almost like how you pictured, you know, I grew up in this little tiny town of Rhode Island, little Compton, Rhode Island, and like just it's how you pictured like old school Holly. I felt like I time traveled to the 30s and got to just go sit. It was like everyone was just singing like Chim Chimney, Chim Chim with like watching like Mickey. It was the oddest, most magical like Disney. It just felt like it was a time travel thing. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, that it couldn't pop. That Mickey Rooney, Mickey freaking Rooney.
He's still out there being a tiny, strange troll of a man.
I know. And like imagine like how many ladies he got in the Polo Lounge. He was at his height.
I've never been to the Polo Lounge. Is that in and of itself very like super throwbacky and kind of?
It is. I hadn't been in many years. It's very, I think the design has stayed the same and it's all these old, you should go. We should go for like a grilled cheese sometime.
Super do that.
The ceiling is painted green and white stripes. You would like it just for the design of it.
Yeah.
The ceiling is very green and white stripes. It feels like it's like the 40s and they have all these banquettes. Everything's like, it's all these like leather round booths.
Yeah,
and they just lounge the place.
Old school Hollywood. Yeah,
we didn't know where to sit. Like Michael and I were like, we don't want to. Why we're we just sort of hugged the edge,
right.
And like, but he was obsessed with trying to talk to Mickey Rooney.
what was he going to say?
I mean, I think he was obsessed with figuring out if Mickey Rooney could still turn it on if he had to.
Okay, all right, that's a really good question.
That is a really good question.
I am very curious about that.
He didn't look like he could. Gut feeling says no.
All right. Okay.
But anyway,
was he hobbly?
He was just like plopped in the first booth.
Yeah.
I mean,
Mickey
frickin' Rooney. Disney.
Saving Mr. Banks sing-along.
It was insane.
I am extremely envious.
I didn't see the movie yet.
I'm delighted that you were there.
We didn't get invited to the movie part. We seemed like everybody else had been invited to the movie part, but you know what? I didn't have a problem with that.
It's okay. You could see that movie anytime.
Exactly. I'm going to see
it. That was your one experience.
The vibe of the people, everyone else there seemed to have enjoyed it.
Oh my God. I'm very excited to see it. I love that you got to do that.
It was amazing.
And that's another one of those, like, I was kind of joking about the, because I love the Mary Poppins soundtrack also, and I was listening to it on the drive home from Disneyland because I was like, I need to be hearing that right now.
Of course.
Although it's probably a bad idea to listen to, like, Stay Awake Lullaby and Feed the Birds Lullaby when you're driving late at night on the freeway.
Yes, it's not going to end well.
It's very soothing.
Sure.
But yeah, the whole idea of, like, I want to be brave enough to write a song like Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, yes, where you're just making up words.
Yes.
Or chim chiminy chim chiminy. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's a song. Like, that's chim chiminy chim chiminy chim chim cheree. That's a song.
That's a song.
Those are lyrics.
It was amazing hearing him talk about how they figured stuff out too. Like, this guy
So he did. So he talked kind of about the process.
He talked about the process. And this guy was crackerjack. Cool. If anybody out there gets a chance, I get the feeling that he must tour with. I mean, he was so on fire.
Yeah.
And what was interesting about it, he kept acknowledging the ghosts in the room. So he kept acknowledging. He said
this
that
gets better and better.
He was saying he was welcoming his brother who had died many years ago. He welcomed Walt Disney, who was sitting next to him on the bench. It was amazing. Like, he was talking about who was there with us. Like,
and that doesn't immediately doesn't feel like showmanship. It feels like he sincerely from his heart.
Oh, no.
Saw an experience and felt like that was happening.
Oh, no. It wasn't even being like dramatic. It was like, oh, there's other people. He's like, I want to introduce. He's like, everybody showed up. They're all here. Yeah. My brother's here to my right. And like Walt Disney's at the end of the piano. And Walt Disney, he was excited because his favorite song was Feed the Birds.
Yeah, it was.
The whole thing was so interesting. It was so interesting.
Yeah.
And it was so interesting about how a lot of it was them just like being backed into a corner and just quickly churning something out. And like how they wrote It's a Small World, they built the ride and like it was a disaster. And then like Walt Disney was like, you gotta, like it was like creepy. And then Walt Disney was like, you gotta come up with a song to somehow like, cause they were like opening it. Yeah. So they had to figure out. So he's like, and we need it yesterday. He's like, you gotta get it to me like tomorrow morning. We need this song. We're opening it up. So he's like, what are we gonna do? It's like all the, every kid of the world doing, you know, and so it was just very interesting that him trying to figure out like, okay, well, them just trying to figure out like, hey, what unites everybody? And then they just banged out this song and they just kept it simple. It was so interesting.
God, anyway, that's our story. So, okay, well then I can fold that. I mean, for sure. Listen, we're talking about like things that kind of stay with us from when we're young and holding on to that feeling of magic and imagination. So I can certainly, and you mentioned that you grew up in a small town in Rhode Island, Compton?
Little Compton.
Compton is different than Little Compton.
It's
I guess.
A lot
Compton
different.
It's the Los Angeles area.
It's
is
way
much different.
Yes.
Yeah. Rhode Island is, and I'm sure that this, you've said this and it's been said many a time. And by the way, FYI, grilled cheese book just sitting here like serendipity. We are where we're supposed to be.
Wow.
For our grilled cheese at the Polo Lounge, except that we'd have to have gluten-free bread for a little allergy girl.
Me too.
Maybe they do. It seems like more and more people
do. You know what? We'll go get a Cobb salad.
All right, great. Done. Yeah, so Rhode Island is one of those tiny states where, am I ever going to go? I'd like to.
Oh.
What will bring me there? Do you know what I mean?
All right, here's what's going to bring. No, you're going to have to go out of your way. You're going to have to go out of your way. Here's the thing. It's hilarious. It's beautiful. My town looks a lot like Ireland, like, or England, like the
I'm
coast.
Already in.
Yeah, it feels like it was founded before the country. It was like in the late 1600s. We have a general store and there's like cliffs to the sea and we have an illiterate chief of police and a general. I mean, it's really just farms and so it makes you have to use your imagination.
But at the same time, it makes you have to use your imagination, but in a very different way than being in like a weird urban area where like it's just strip malls.
Yes. No, it makes you. And it's also like our town didn't get cable or like a cell phone tower until recently. So like the stuff that you are brought like that, you know, it was very limited what pop culture stuff you get to see.
Yeah.
So a lot of I would see a lot of old movies is what they would play on. So that's always when I pictured like coming to LA, I pictured being like a cigarette girl in like a Busby Berkeley musical.
Sure.
But yeah, that's what, but my parents are from New York. So they took me, so I knew there was something outside of there that I was not going to end up there.
What drew them to Little Compton?
My dad had spent summers there as a kid. So it's sort of like Nantucket-y type place, but without any of the stores or restaurants.
And he was one of those people that was like, wouldn't it be great if we just lived here? I just want to feel like this all the time.
Well, I think he basically, my mom picked, he's like, I will live two places, Manhattan or the Little Compton. And so she didn't want to raise kids in the city because she felt like we would have to learn how to entertain ourselves. And so she, like, in the country. But she made my brother and I both live in New York. She's like, I don't care if you go to college. I don't care. But you both have to live in New York City for 4 years.
I love your parents.
Right? My parents married on a dare. It's the whole thing is banana trains. Still married.
Wait,
still
so married. They got married on a dare?
Not dating. Not dating. Still married. Still married.
Talk to me. Tell me that, a little bit about that. I mean, because that's awesome.
They worked together on Wall Street. They were out having cocktails one night around like New Year's Eve, magical New York, snowy. She was like the foxy secretary that worked for the boss who would like chase her around the desk, old school. And they were trying to figure out how to get the maximum vacation time. So everybody got 2 weeks off a year, but if you got married, if you had a honeymoon, you had an extra 2 weeks. So they were like, oh my God, we should get married. We'll get 4 weeks off. My dad was like, I'll pay for us. We'll go down to South America for a month, and then we'll come back and we'll get it annulled. And they couldn't find a Bible to swear on, so they swore on a cookbook. And then I think they were all out having like cocktails. And then the next day, my mom called. She's like, I'll do it, but I don't want to get it annulled. So my grandparents never knew. They met my dad as her fiance. They had a proper wedding 6 weeks later. She wore her best friend Arden. Her best friend's name was Arden, her dress.
Oh, Arden.
And then they went to South America for like this whirlwind tour, and they've been married ever since.
So this is a Walt Disney movie that you've just described
it
right
is,
now.
It is, except for it's a little except banana. It's a little crazy.
But they're still married.
They're still married.
And what is that? Like, how did, oh boy, this is like, I love when I immediately have no way of asking the intense series of questions that I want to ask.
Get at it.
How do you feel like that has informed your sense of like
dating and
how
stuff?
Things work and what's possible and what's crazy but what's normal and all that kind
it
of stuff?
Definitely, like, we didn't know growing up. It wasn't until I was in high school, my brother was in college, and he came back with like his first girlfriend. And she was like, Janet, how'd you guys get? And my mom's name is Janet.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. She's like, Janet, it's all wonderful. Come on. Something's happening here. How did you guys get engaged? And my mom was like, oh, it was stupid. And that's when
you first heard the story. Was like as told to someone outside of the family even.
And my brother was super freaked out. And I was like, oh my God, that explains things. Like, that explains, like, because they were such an odd pair. And I think for me, well, I will say, I think them then moving to the country, and like, there was sort of like this lawless quality in our house. Like, there was this sense of like, you could stay up, like, in, when I was little, I'd get go to rated R movies, and like, I could stay up and watch like Letterman and Saturday Night Live, like, and like, I like Monty Python movies when I was seven. And like, so there was sort of this quality of like, well, we already broke all the rules. Let's just keep like, so there was
interesting.
So, and I think with dating, it was weird. Like, I didn't quite, it was an odd roadmap, like, to figure out kind of like how to, it was an odd roadmap to figure out, like, okay, what is, like, how do you actually normally go about this? And what does it look like when it's sort of like a more, like a pair? Yeah. Like, that definitely took some, I actually started like studying people, like friends of mine, to see, like, oh, who are like happy couples and like, what do they do and how do they – and what do I like and what does it look like? Like, I just had no roadmap at all. So it was just like – and I always got along well with guys, but I kind of had no idea how to date a guy. And I would just pick terrible guys.
So what kind of guys would you pick?
Oh, my God. Like, the grossest –
like, the mean guys?
A guy that
like,
would have sex with my friends behind my back. Yeah. Like, a cheaters. Like, like – douchey, flashy guys that would like.
Were you? You think you were chasing that rush that you get? Because you already get such a rush when you're that age anyway.
Yeah.
And then there's something very drug-like about it. I mean, I guess I've talked about it on the podcast before, but that, but maybe not in this exact context. But like that it breeds this sort of like, oh, that's what this must be what it's supposed to feel like. Is this like, oh my God? And it's like worse and more intense / better when it's someone like when you're younger, especially, who's like wrong for you or
I
who's
do.
Gonna
I think
hurt you
I think there's also like
might
a,
hurt you.
There's or, like a. I think at the beginning, I mean, I don't know if you had this experience. Like, I feel like in high school, I felt like is almost, I went to boarding school, so we didn't have a high school in our town, and there wasn't like any high school nearby, so, which was actually super fun. I think people out here hear boarding school and they're like, oh, that's sad. Like, no, it was actually like super fun. It was sort of like high, I mean, it was like going to college.
Yeah, but sure, at 14, you get independence in a totally different way at such a young age.
But it's also like, it's actually like legitimately super fun, but you're like getting to do college at 14, like it was fun. But so you're in this really intense, small environment, and, but there is sort of like, I mean, I don't know if you had this where I would like get crushes on people and almost like make them up in my head.
Sure.
And it's like, I think I would go for guys in high school, the guy that I had a crush on who like, he was shy, but I think actually maybe he was just kind of a dick. Do you know what I mean? I was like, no, he's just shy. I was like, no, I think he's actually, you know what I mean? So you kind of like construct like, because he was so cute. Like, I think there was like a idea of just building like, oh my God, like, no, like nobody understands him. This guy is just like the quiet. It's like, no, maybe he's boring and rude.
That's not possible. He's very attractive.
Did you ever have that? Did you build people in your brain?
I think I definitely did. I think I'm trying to think of like, I mean, my crushes were just so out there in terms of like, I mean, I feel like there are certain ones that you can really kind of track and go, oh, that makes sense because he was the French exchange student.
Right,
makes sense because he was like this super, like in college, I had this enormous crush like right when I got there, I think when I was a freshman probably.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to, I went to two different colleges, but the first place I went was NAU in Flagstaff in Northern Arizona. So a really small school, really small theater department. And there was this guy there who was like in his very early 30s, like had gone back to school. I think he was getting his teaching degree, but he was also performing. And he wasn't like, anybody who I went to school with, if you listen to this podcast, you'll maybe know who I'm talking about. He is like, he was so magnetic in terms of what a great performer he was, and so charming in a very like Jack Nicholson-y kind of way.
Yeah.
And very similar to Jack Nicholson with a beard in the sense that like he wasn't conventionally handsome, but it did not matter at all.
Yeah.
Suddenly he was the most electric thing I'd ever seen.
Yes.
And I certainly would like, I mean, I feel like I kind of stalked him. Like I found out, I kind of got a sense of where he would be when. But I was also not like a creep, like, and maybe you can relate to this and maybe some of you listening can relate to this. I was not like, I was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I wasn't like a complete weirdo.
No,
not like I was stalky and like, hi, Bert. His name is Bert. Hi, Bert. How are you? What are you doing? It was like I had enough confidence in myself to stalk him to make sure he would see me.
Right. Okay. Like, okay, that's good.
I want him to see me. I don't know if anything is going to happen here.
Yeah.
But it's so exciting for me to just see him in the hallway and have him look at me and know that like, I'm being acknowledged
you're registering.
And then like if you were to say something to me, I would probably be like pretty saucy and like sarcastic. So I wasn't stalking in a shy way.
No.
It was definitely like, how can I be in this man's world and get him to notice that like I'm cool? I mean, I did end up eventually. Like we had one night together when I was in college.
Was it amazing?
I had one night with him.
Was it amazing?
It was pretty great. It definitely involves oh my God, why am I blanking on the, we were here to talk about you. I'm sure people are really tired of my stories, but
I love it.
We definitely were, we definitely had like that one date of like the one magical dinner. And like, I think we went back to my apartment who I had two roommates, but they were gone, you know, and like dancing to like some sort of like Everly Brothers sort of or like some, you know, just some
classic.
Great old classic, like soul, sexy soul.
Yes.
Not, you know, Let's Get It On, but something close. Not Marvin Gaye, but something close.
I wish it was
and,
Let's Get It On.
I know. That would have been
sexual
the perfect
healing.
Cliche. Yeah. But it was like floating. I mean, it was sort of like, and then, but I think also with the understanding that like this, I don't think this is going to, like, it wasn't going to be that I was going to start dating this person.
Were you bummed out after the fact? I just also want to acknowledge I have sunblock burning through my eyes right now.
Oh no. Do you need to take an eye rinse break?
I think there's nothing for me to do. I was in the desert this week. I was in the desert and my face got fried. So now I'm like on a... I'm a natural redhead, so now I'm on like a I bought like Shiseido like 55. I slathered it on, so I kind of like a weight underneath my makeup, like a full like I used to have like a full.
You don't look burned in any way.
But then makeup on. But then it's completely running. I think once it's in, it's in. So I just
you
want
just
to
let
that.
The burn
is gonna happen. But if it starts weeping, just heads up.
But did you ever?
So question. So what happened after that?
So it just kind of organically, like, it was never discussed, but yeah. there was clearly, we clearly were not going to start dating. Yeah. Neither one of us wanted that.
Yes.
I think it was just like, it's the only time I've ever had that. The only time I've ever had one of those where it was like, I just want to do this once.
Yeah.
And it was, and will it be like, yeah, will it be disappointing to like lose the sort of the mystery of it? And it wasn't. It was because, like, by that time I was in the department and I really kind of knew him better.
Yeah.
So it, in a way it was sort of just like, the 1 year ago me really yeah. wanted this. And so let's present. Have this sort of nice
And you always
night
have that sort of present. There's like a few nights I feel like that everyone has in your life where you're like, there was a guy that I always had a crush on in college and it didn't happen in college. And then like after the fact, there was one night that he was in New York and it was just like on.
Yeah.
And there was just something... Like, if I could have, like, told my freshman self, like, this is going to happen. And, you know, he didn't live in New York. It wasn't going to, you know, but it was like, oh, that was really fun. Like, there yeah. was something just sort of cool
about. What
was
your night in New York like?
Well, it was, at first it was embarrassing, I think, because we went and saw a movie. And then, like, I feel like.
Like, how did he reach out? Like, I get, now I'm really curious about, like, the real details of it. Like, you, so you, had you stayed in touch or had you not stayed in touch? And once he find you and was like, hey, I'm happened to be here.
Older than him. And he, but we got along really well. And I remember he, I think I didn't realize he had a girlfriend in college. Like, I think he didn't, I didn't know. Cause he, again, cause he was a little bit younger, so I didn't like run in his crowd, but yeah. we knew each other from the theater department. And how did that work? He probably called me and then it's funny looking back, I realized, I think he came prepared. Like, I think in his mind, like, I thought we were just going to hang out. Like, I had an audition in the morning. I remember I had this huge audition that I wasn't ready for. And it didn't go that well because. But I remember realizing after the fact, like, oh, he came to New York with nowhere else to stay. Like, he came. Okay. I thought we were just going out. Like, I realized. And I do remember one odd detail of it. And guys, if you're listening to this, I don't know how many gentlemen are out there, but don't do this. I remember, because I lived with my best friend, and we had, like, we had this duplex on, like, near Central Park West. It sounds fancy, but it wasn't. And it was, like, one of those, like, ground floor and the basement. And the basement had, like, one of those, like, little just single stall bathrooms. But the doors were really thin. It was a really cheap apartment. And he came in, and we were there just, like, watching TV. There was also a bathroom upstairs. And he just, like, went in, like, with the newspaper for, like, 45 minutes. And it was so disgusting. That's how bad, like, I liked him in college. You know what I mean? Like, it was so, any other human, it would have been. And I just remember thinking, like, wow, he is comfortable in his skin.
Sure.
He didn't even go upstairs.
Yeah.
He doesn't even pretend to run out. I'm like, that he's got to go run and
really
get something at, like, a deli or something. Sure. Like, he's just like, go use, like, bold call.
And this was pre you guys sleeping
pre,
there.
Pre.
You did really like him.
I did. Isn't that disgusting?
But I mean, it's tough because, yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's yes, it's disgusting, but it's also like there is something sort of like, well, I mean, we all.
Yeah.
But that's a really long time.
It was a really long time. And my friend was like, ugh. Yeah, my best friend was so gross.
And that, like, matters a lot, too, when you're that age to have, like, your friend.
Oh, my God.
You want your friend to be like,
my friend was
so
like, what
sexy.
The fuck is yeah. wrong with this guy? Like, who, like, ugh.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was a bold. And I, yeah, it was a bold call. It
but
was
he
a
wasn't
bold,
one of the jerks.
No, se. No, he was yeah. a cutie pie.
Yeah.
Another jerk. I dated a jerk for, like, a year that my friends hated. And I also realized, I think with him, I here's the thing, gals, if you're listening, anybody can give a good first 3 months. Anybody can give a good first 3 months. And I think, like, he was nice to me. And there was something, like, when you've got, like, he was, like, such a cool kid. And I think there's something about when someone's nice to you but is maybe rude to other people. It's like, I got picked. I got
yeah,
picked. He's
I
nice
really
to me.
Understand that.
But, like, yeah. he at first.
Yeah.
Here is a telltale sign. When I met his mother for the first time, he went into the other room and was, like, screaming at her.
Oh, boy.
That is, anybody who ever sees somebody just, like, outright treat their mother, they're gonna be rude to you eventually.
Yeah.
Like, and I remember, like, it was just one of those things where where, again, he gave a good first 3 months, and then you kind of keep going back. Like 6 months in, it's like kind of a douche, and you're like, all my friends hate him, you know. And it was like, oh. And you kind of keep going back to like the first 3 months, but I think there was something about like getting picked by like the cool guy.
That totally makes sense. Yeah. There really is that feeling, especially when you're younger, where like I think you get, and you just get such a sense of who you are or like what your value is by like moments like that. Yeah. where suddenly it feels so important to be special, and like, yes, we hold on to that a lot. And I think as performers, I'm certainly retreading old ground here from the podcast, but when you have this sort of like desire to be appreciated,
yeah,
for this presentation of yourself that you're putting out there, which is, yeah, very specific as a performer too.
That's true.
That like maybe you're attracted to people who kind of, especially when you're younger, help mirror that back or make you feel like, you know, yes, you are special.
Yeah.
You will succeed in this very difficult, yes, business, because I see and I'm treating you in this special, yes, unique way.
Yes.
And even if that means like, yeah, I'm a shit to everybody else, yeah, somehow I'm acknowledging you, my princess.
There was something nice about being chosen. You get, yeah, chosen.
Yeah. It's really tricky. I totally understand.
No, let me ask you this, because I think for me, I also grew up, I was a redheaded little child who looked like a boy.
And so do you have brothers and sisters?
I have an older brother named Alaric. And okay, we were like, he's hilarious, but like, you know, we were both very small. We both like were kind of the only redheaded kids. He's blind in one eye. He was born that way. He's a genius. He's hilarious. It's fine. He doesn't know any different. It's not like a sad thing. But yeah, like, but like, we were just a little different than the everybody in our class was like Jason and Cindy and Brenda, you
and
know.
And he
like
was a boarding school also.
Yeah, we went to different schools, yeah, but I mean, we lived at home when we were little. There was something just about like we were well liked because we were funny, but we weren't cool,
right?
And particularly, I think also growing up in New England, that very preppy sort of like field hockey tennis world where everyone's so beautiful and blonde and you just feel a little different. And like, I think literally being mistaken for a boy till I was like 12, like there's something about actually having like the cool guy pick you when, yeah, you're like I almost felt like the neutered court jester all through high school. I was like the funny best friend to like the girl that the guys wanted to sleep with. Mm-hmm. So I think there's something about like, no, I can get a cool guy too. Like,
absolutely.
I'm not a total freak.
Absolutely.
I think it's that.
Yeah. And that has power for a certain amount of time. And yeah, then, but so you're like so
20,
right.
I think till you're like 25.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I don't
know. That sounds about right.
Yeah. Then it's like, ugh, who cares?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. How about I just have somebody that like I super respect and who respects me?
Yeah, I think
and it's, respects other people.
I think it's when you get comfortable in your own skin and you're like, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like there never was. It's just, I think I actually lived near you for like a year. I lived in New York till very recently and I kept working out here. So I just stay with my friend who lived out here and she has this 12-year-old daughter who I adore. But just witnessing, and she's so cute and she's so talented, but just witnessing, I was like, oh, that's a horrible, like, that is just the worst. It's so painful to be in like seventh grade, like as if it's just the worst, you know? And then I think as an adult looking back, it's like, oh, there's nothing wrong with any of us. We all just felt like, you just feel like a monster. Mm-hmm. You just feel like so different and like a monster. And there's something nice about becoming an adult and kind of like seeing, oh my God, I'm obsessed with that picture of the snowy mountain.
Isn't that great? That's a photograph that I tore out of a magazine. It's, I think it's Greenland.
Wow.
And it's
a
real
snow
town.
Freak.
And everyone, I listen, you and I
got married in a blizzard.
I
on
couldn't
purpose,
love that more.
In a round barn near covered bridges in Vermont.
Okay, I have a book that you should look at too, because there's this photographer who I adore who did this book of photography that's only about snow.
Oh my God.
So I'm noting to myself that before you leave, I should show that to you.
I wanted to say to you one thing. This is just completely sidetracking. I love how you're from Arizona and you have the most Nordic, cozy, the most like cozy winter, beautiful. Like there's a real.
I'm super obsessed with winter. I
yeah.
do not like summer.
Me neither.
Opposite seasonal affective disorder. I guess it's,
me too.
Yeah,
I get depressed
that's why when
every
I lived
summer.
In San Francisco, I was so happy because even in the summers, it's like foggy and cloudy and kind of wintry.
That's why I moved to New York yeah. when Mad TV ended. I moved to New York because I was like, I miss snow.
Yeah.
I look so much cuter and like
I feel
so.
Let me layer.
I'm I'm so cute in a hood. Give me a hood. I completely give me a tight agree. And a booty. Absolutely. Give me some mittens.
Yep.
I already have my sledding schedule planned for this winter.
Fantastic.
But yeah, it's like I feel the same way. I when I first moved here, I was very depressed. I get depressed here every September when it gets hotter and hotter.
It's
and I know it's getting lovely it's so elsewhere. Hard.
I know.
I get like I go into a
where can
funk.
I go? How can I get away?
What? And then I wonder what's wrong with me. And like or in the summer when everyone was like, it's summer, and I'm like, I'm like just can't get off the couch. I get fat every summer. I
do too. I'm waiting
weight.
For the sun to go down.
Me too.
So that like, and I'm not. You are a night owl. I'm not really a night owl. Yeah. I sort of used to be, but it sort of becomes like on a day like this where it's just a cloudless sky.
Yeah.
No, no, thank you.
No, it's no, uninspiring. Thank you. Why can't we just move the industry to
That's
San Francisco?
Exactly how I feel.
I keep pitching shows for New York. I just keep my dream is just to build my own show to like have it shoot in New York.
Well, I think that will absolutely happen if that's what you want.
That's
I mean,
what
you
I,
certainly have what it takes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've sold things and then like, but they haven't shot that part. Those didn't get shot yet. So but I just feel like. I just miss cold.
Yeah, I totally get
what
it.
What brought you to San Francisco? Can I just say, for anybody listening, as a performer, doing the Sketch Fest, which M'Lady started, it is the most fun festival as a performer to
thank
do.
Thank you so much.
You guys just
much.
Get it right. What a big undertaking.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we're in the dead thick of it right now, so it's like insanity.
Do you love it?
I do. It's really hard. It's very hard.
How
so,
did you meet Cole, if you don't mind me asking?
Cole
you?
And Dave and I, who founded and run the festival, were in a sketch group together. Like basically right out of SF State, which is the other
okay,
place I
see,
went to school. And so we were doing we were just doing comedy together.
So you get to at least go be there. You're there for the whole month, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, for
that's
like
awesome.
3 weeks. Yeah,
I mean,
it's good to
it's
stay
a real
connected
present then you give to everybody.
Thank you so much. And that's so sweet.
People look forward to it. It's fun.
Yeah.
You do it right. Everybody's taken care of. All the people that work there, you're just like, it's almost, it's like camp because you don't have to worry about like people, they just very clear with the itinerary of where you're supposed to be. Somebody comes and picks you up and then it's all your favorite people. And it's what's fun is there's some people that like you might have respected their work or admired, but maybe you've never gotten to work with. And then you like if you happen to be there at the same time, you get to hang out or see them at the parties. Like that's so fun.
Oh, that's so nice. I'm so appreciative of you saying that. It's nice to hear that in when I'm like in the middle of like, oh my God, how am I going to get all this done?
It's really
so
fun.
It's really nice to hear.
I love doing it.
That
yeah
thank you okay well let's get back to you let's yes. get back to you you're yes. too good at this like you're too good at having a give and take and so I feel
okay.
like
okay.
if I were a
okay.
listener I'd be like oh really more Janet stories but so all right so going back to high school I mean, this idea of you being the funny best friend
yeah
what did you like what was your style like
oh
you know what
God.
I mean like let's get super superficial
okay.
super superficial
okay ready
like what were you like what music did you listen
okay.
to all this
I wore like purple tights
right.
and I had like little hats and skirts particularly in a sea of like it was just like plaid and khaki so I would dress up I had a little bob. I had a little red bob. And
so was there a dress code at the boarding school?
No dress okay. code. All no right. dress code.
So the sea of plaid was by choice.
Sea of plaid was by choice. That was self-imposed sea of plaid. Mm-hmm. Having an older brother, when I was really little, I would listen to like, I remember he would introduce me to like some old, because New England's into really old classic rock. It's all about, still, if you go to Rhode Island or Massachusetts, all you're going to hear is classic rock.
Okay.
So like at the, like, you know, like Talking Heads were awesome and
great.
U2 were awesome. There was like a Crosby, Stills, and Nash phase. You know,
yeah.
I remember like my friend broke up with her boyfriend and I wrote out all the words to Judy Blue Eyes for her to give to him. Like just like as the breakup letter. But like it was really all about like it was all about really like a like 70s rock.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people listened to in New England still. That's still what they listen
so
to.
So of all ages, it wasn't like
everybody.
Oh, the youngsters were listening. Yeah.
No, everybody's still
funny.
Like they it still has
how
not
about Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, that wasn't until later. That wasn't yeah. like I never really but yeah, that was it was just sort of like that's what it yeah. That's what. And let's see. And then I wrote my own plays in high school. That's sort of where it started. Okay. Was like, because I didn't, you know, again, the school was so preppy. It was like all these, like every assembly was another like lacrosse award to be given out to somebody. And so, but they had this beautiful theater. And so I just started writing my own plays and directing them. And that was sort of like, because the theater department lady hated me. So it was like, I couldn't get cast in anything. I was like, well, fuck, I'll just write my own stuff. And then
I can't believe how early on you got, lucky you that she wouldn't.
Yeah.
And that you started that so early, because that's really cool.
It was, I actually ended up winning the trustee award at like, which I think enraged her, but like it was, I have to say, like every step of the way is the things where that seem like a total bummer, you know, is what forces you to get scrappy. And it's a complete gift, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, it was a gift that she blocked me, you know, and it and it makes you get scrappy. I had a story that I remembered, because when you emailed, just talking about so just thinking about adolescent stuff, here is the thing that flashed to me of like one of the most embarrassing things that ever happened to me. The shy, boring, hot guy that I had a crush on. I was on a mission to lose my virginity by the end of high school, because everybody was humping like rabbits. Everybody was getting at that. I mean, okay. if you put all these adolescents in the woods.
Sure.
Like, and there was a list. There was like, the school had about 300 people, so each class was like 75. There was like a list of graduating virgins, and you did not want to be on that list.
There was an actual physical list.
There was an actual list. So
wow, everyone was so aware of everyone else. Oh, yeah. That's just how it is.
It's, I mean, that many people. You just know. You just know. So I was like, fuck, I got to get off the list. Like, I got to graduate having been deflowered. So I was on a mission. And I remember one night I started dating Hunky Dullard. And I was like, tonight's the night. This is going to happen. I'm going to get this done. And we went pool hopping. Somehow, like, he had a car. He was a day student. And we went with, like, his buddy. Like, you know the couple in every class? There's, like, a couple in every class that seems, like, super polite and sweet, but they are just like secretly like doing it like rabbits like 400 times a day.
They're
humping everywhere. Like the teachers, they all look like the innocent couple, but they're doing it in like their parents' basements and like anywhere you can do it, they're doing it. So we went pool hopping with them, and there was like this like 12-foot chain link fence to get into the public pool.
By the way, I love that. At night?
At night. It's the best.
That was like those were continuous highlights of high school.
I have to say, the other times that I did it, they were highlights. This one. So team sex was like up and over the fence, like immediately. And we're like instantly stripped down, like in the water, just like going at it like dolphins, like, oh my God. So I didn't realize that there was, I had a never, because I didn't live in the, I mean, I didn't grow up in the town. I didn't realize there was a big fence. So I wore my best Annie hat, bowler hat, and like a long circle skirt. I looked like a fundamentalist Mormon, like FDLS.
I remember that look very well.
I mean, I was like clearly looking for sex in that outfit.
Sure.
So I climbed up, I like scaled the fence, and then looked at, and it was high. I was like perched on top, like, holy, like, how am I gonna get down? Oh, like, no. I thought getting up is a problem. So I was like kind of killing time, like, well, look at the view. Like,
do a tight five on
being up
on
that. This is crazy.
Yeah.
And he was like, go, come on, get down. I'm like, oh my God, we could get to see forever from here. And he was like, get down. So I was like, I just was like, okay, 1, 2, 3, jump. And I jumped, and my skirt caught on the top of the fucking fence.
Of course it did.
And I was left hanging by the fence with my ass out in the air. And then ding dong McGillicuddy, who's already getting impatient with me. I couldn't touch the ground because this fence was so, I couldn't just get myself off. Like, I couldn't. No. He had to like remove me from the fence.
No.
He had to remove me from the fence.
Oh, no.
He had to remove me from the fence. And then
did he remove did he remove you from your skirt, or did he manage to get the skirt free?
He kind of like lifted me up, and I like kind of like pull at the skirt. Yeah. It was
super sexy.
It was nothing sexy.
Super sexy.
Seamless. It was a seamless, smooth as silk.
It's foreplay.
When you're looking for sex, if you're a teenager out there on the hunt for sex, this is definitely what you want to execute.
This is the way to do it.
Surefire sex. Yeah, this is. It didn't happen that night. It did not get, it did not, that was, miraculously, it did eventually happen with him. It did
eventually. It was that guy, so it was,
did,
yeah.
It did eventually happen, miraculously. It was not that good, but that was, I mean, but that happened. That was one of the most embarrassing. Oh, I mean, you just sort of like dig a hole, like a spider hole, and just like insert yourself in it. And just like,
yeah, how do you go through the rest of your night sort of like, well, I just, or let's go get in the,
this is swimming out.
You were funny, so that helped.
It helped. It helped.
So you probably seem like, You probably seemed like you were cooler with it than you were because you were able to joke about it immediately.
Yes. You think you run back to your dorm and you like tell all your buddies. Like that's the beauty of living with your friends is you can kind of go like, oh my God, that happened.
That's nice.
I had enough of wherewithal that I had a sense of humor like, oh my God, this is like could not.
To have the perspective at
this
least.
Could not have gone worse. Like this could not, I couldn't have written a worse ending to like executing this. However, that's what happened.
Because it just gives all, like that's the problem with embarrassing moments. Is that is that until you get to an age where you kind of own them differently, and even still, I'm not acting like believe me, when something embarrassing happens, like doesn't mean that I immediately take my power back right away and I'm like, I got this. Of course, we're human beings, but there is there's a different gravitas to it when you're younger, and you just feel like I just gave all of my power away.
That's exactly it.
I'm so humiliated.
That's exactly
it. Yes, I can joke about this, but ultimately my own, whether or not that person knows that I feel this way, I still can't joke my way out of like the deep core feeling.
The shame shower.
Yeah, totally.
You know what? The only, as you say it, just hearing you talk about, like thinking about the it would be akin to this present day. I would say once or twice a year doing stand up. In front of someone that whose opinion you care about, every once in a while, if you're doing new stuff or like every once in a while, you will have a show where you just fucking eat it. It just, and to me, that is the worst. Like that is like that as an adult, thankfully, is pretty much limited to that. But like once a year you have a show, you're like, I can't go face them. Like, I cannot. Man. Do you have that?
Well, I don't do stand-up, so I'm very... And I think I've avoided doing stand-up for exactly those reasons, because I just am so...
Yeah.
I don't know if I can stand feeling
it's
like
hard to ride that out.
Even once.
You don't know where to put that. Like, once a year, you're like, I don't know.
I feel like you're lucky that it's once a year. I mean, in the beginning, it seems like it has to happen more.
You know what? It feels worse when you have a witness. It feels worse when you have, like, either... There we go. Excuse me. You're welcome. You're welcome.
It's still very cute.
Thank you. It's either, well, because I mostly did improv for years, like, and I mostly did sketch.
I guess I've done, I mean, I've certainly had improv shows, but it's just different because you have a whole team of people and guys can console each other afterwards.
Absolutely.
And if somebody you care about is in the audience, you can definitely say, like, listen, we made it all up.
Exactly.
You never know. You never know how it's going to go. Well, whereas stand up is like, oh, this is a thing I really wanted to be great and crafted and it didn't go well.
I'll be honest
just
with
me.
You, I avoided stand up for that reason because I did basically only do improv and sketch. And then people would be like, when I started doing Chelsea Lately, people kept trying to book me to do stand up, and I'm like, I don't do stand up. I had started as a stand up, but I didn't like that feeling of being so exposed.
Yeah.
And so it's been interesting coming back. So it's seeing what's interesting doing stand up when you're wiring as an improviser. What's it's learning that to be a good stand up, you need to do the same material basically over and over. That's how you build your act. You work on it. And if you do something twice as an improviser, you're a total hack.
Right.
So there was something about like just learning like, no, you're like when I would in the beginning doing stand up and when there were other stand ups in the room who I respected who'd seen me do something before, I'm like, oh my God, they're going to think I'm a total hack. Like I've done this in front of them.
Yeah.
Like panic, you know, so it's interesting to kind of give yourself the room of like, no, that's what this is. That's what this muscle is. It's what you're supposed to do.
That's such a good point. I wish that I had. Yeah. Now it just feels too late for me.
Oh, like, it's not. Oh, no. I didn't start stand up again until like 5 years ago or 4 years ago. It's not
that
too late.
That's encouraging.
I will
say
this.
I just have to make the decision to like switch my gears in that way.
It helped that I did it I did it after Mad TV, and that was the other thing, was like having been, you know, being on Chelsea and then doing Mad TV, like it was also, you don't want somebody to come to a show and be like, oh, I thought she was funny. Yeah. You know, like, oh, she's not like, because I knew in the beginning you're not going to really be like good at all. And so there was, I think it was a little safer to start in New York because there's just more rooms. There's more rooms in like Brooklyn. There's more, it's a little more anonymous than here, mm-hmm. where there's more people from the industry, or like, I just feel like it was a good place to kind of get my training wheels of like giving myself the privacy to maybe not be good for a while, like to get up and running.
Yeah. And I usually don't make anything, whatever, who knows, but with a podcast where it's going, but did you feel like because you were doing so much sketch and improv, where that really is about choosing to be someone else in some way, was there a part of you that was like, wow, this is really just like, what's my stand-up voice going to be? How is that like, because that's so different too.
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's been some, like, it's been sort of like and it's going to sound super cheesy, but it's been sort of like a spiritual experience. Like there's something about, like, it's between you and your own worst enemy in your head, like your own worst, like, and, but then it's the audience lets you know how they like you. It's like between you and your voice. And like, so it was in the beginning, like you might have this idea of what you think it's going to be like, and then you see quickly what the audience sort of enjoys you doing, and what the audience, what you can't get away with, but maybe somebody else could do the same joke and get away with it.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's like, it's interesting. It's sort of a present. Like you are kind of on this journey where it was interesting coming to it later, like, and seeing how they, like who you are up there.
Yeah.
Like, and they seem to enjoy me as like a friendly train wreck. Like it's like the cat that got into the champagne bottle. Like that's where there is something about like Kitty Cat Wants to Play. There was something, but that's not what I would, you know, like it's just interesting. Like how, like I can't get away with being like mean at all. Or like if I have a heckler, I can't go at them. I kind of have to befriend them. Like, cause then like the second you seem like rude or a bitch, like they're out, you know? So it's interesting.
Don't you think that's interesting? I mean, oh boy, we can have this conversation when we're at the Polo Lounge too.
Yes.
But just the fact of like what that says about, yes, that's about your personality, but it's also about the fact that like you're adorable and stylish and you're blonde and you're a female and what it, like the difference between what, like how many more hurdles you would have to jump to attack a heckler and not lose the crowd, I think is different than like a chubby guy with glasses.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It's different. It is different. I do think it's also your vibe though, too. Like my voice is super high and like some girls can get away with it, you know?
Yeah.
Like some
Morgan Murphy is a very different
energy. That's who I kept thinking Morgan can get away with it.
Opposite energy.
Morgan can get away with it. Morgan can get away with it. I bet Jen Kirkman can get away with it.
For sure. Yeah.
You know, so it's also just like acknowledging like, okay, that's not my superpower. That's not my superpower. And that's
sense.
Okay. Like all right, but I can still, you know, it's just interesting. So it's interesting.
Oh my God. Okay. Listen, I know you have a place to be, so I'm going to jump into MASH because I don't want to have to
do it.
Not take the amount of time that I would normally like to take with this because it's a pretty fun game. And
I love it. I love
real
games.
Good feeling
I love games
about.
So much. I love games so much.
I feel like any category, this particular podcast, I could so tailor this to myself because I feel like everything I would be into in a category is probably something that you would get on board for as well. So I'm going to start with, I'm going to start with three.
Yes.
Room. You add a room to your existing house.
Yes.
That is serves whatever purpose you want. Three different kinds.
Yes.
It could be like you want just, you know, it's all going to be your office, but your office is going to have these three different possible vibes.
Yes.
Or it could be like, yes, you definitely want to have, you know, you're like, okay, I could either do like a garden conservatory, or I could do a library, or I could do da da da.
Yes.
So you just, that you suddenly have this extra room.
I love it.
Three options. And what's the feel?
Okay. Three rooms. One, I definitely would love a like glamour, like playing dress up area, just with seating and just, there's nothing makes me happier than playing dress up.
Almost like a boudoir.
Yeah, like a boudoir, just like, you know, and it, just a place with like music and just racks of clothes and just there's something so just in the little kid version of playing dress up and some like weird choices, just the fun weird dress up area. I would have like glamour dress up area.
Totally.
Number
get it.
Two, I would have for office, I would do kind of like industrial lofty place with like dogs running around where I would like kind of like a cement floor and I picture like a huge wall size cork board with like you know how fashion designers have like the inspiration board with all like the clippings. So like a big office where activity's happening, where like, you know, so I guess it'd be my production office, you know, where like sets are being chosen. There's editors, like a big with a huge conference table, but I picture it like a one big open like industrial space.
Totally get it and love it.
Okay, third choice, this is interesting. Okay, third choice, I went to Berlin and I had lunch in the Tiergarten. I found this, it was just like in the woods. There was this magical room. It was by a lake and there was, it almost felt like people had just thrown together like corrugated roof and like doors. They'd built this, like they'd found like panes of windows and and they just like it was all this sort of found things that they built into a structure like in the woods.
I hate to say it, but I feel like you just described an anthropology catalog because every time they send the catalog I'm like, listen, I don't want this ruffly sweater that this girl is wearing, but I do want to be in this canoe with this like flocati sheepskin, like amazing, like dark woodsy movie.
Yes. I think I would want my room to actually, my third room attached to my existing house, like somehow like in the woods of like Vermont, like with like a cabin-y vibe, but like big panes of glass and like a big fireplace and like board games and like a fire going and snow and I, you know, and just like people and music. And that's how I picture my third room.
I absolutely want to go there.
Oh my God. I can't wait for you to come. It's going to be awesome.
Oh my God.
It's going to be awesome.
Okay. I just put woodsy cabin magic.
Yeah. Like that's it. That's
it. You know what that
woodsy
is.
Woodsy cabin magic. I love it.
Okay. Now I'm going to do, you have three, it could be a restaurant or it could be retail, but like you don't have to, there's no stressful upkeep to it. But in addition to all the other things you have going on, you also have either a storefront or a cafe or a restaurant or something like some kind of business like that. Could be in New York City, could be here. Three.
Okay. I picture New York City, overlooking a park. It doesn't have to be Central Park. I picture kind of like a treehouse, like up on top of a building. Mm-hmm. There's a restaurant like that exists on top of Bergdorf Goodman's. It's called BG. That is so magical. But I picture some building almost like built on top of a roof of a building that's like an like a again it's sort of a cabiny woodsy
love it
like a like a aviary atrium.
Is it like a cafe?
It's like a like a bar restaurant cafe, like a cafe,
right?
Yes. And and it's, but it's like you have to go up. It's like a perch. It's like a perch. It's like a birdhouse that's been stuck on top.
100% love it.
Okay, number two, I picture a place where I can go make stuff that has just like every awesome, like not lame weird moth face doll faces, but like just a crafting place, but that has people who actually know what they're doing to help us. So, and I like where they give us the assignments. So we come in and it's like,
are we the same person? Or
yeah, like we come
are
in,
we the same person? Like, are you and I the same person? Oh my God, I'm in heaven.
I want
right
to make like okay, today. Heaven. Have you ever seen the Stettheimer Dollhouse in New York City?
No.
Okay, you need to write that down. You need to go. It's at the Museum of the City of New York, and this lady, this rich artist lady, they owned a block. Saw an entire block-sized mansion that doesn't no longer exist in New York City. Her sister was a painter, Florine Stettheimer, but this other sister built a reproduction of the dollhouse. But it's real kind of crafty, and like the dolls in it have wash pin heads and stuff.
Yeah,
so it's like kind of like, so I want to go like make big dollhouses, or I want to glow and do like photo shoots with cool backdrops of like old bed sheets, and I want to so I just want them to like set it up and we go and you just have your buddies and we go and make stuff.
Amazing.
Number three.
This feels like pornography to me. Your MASH game already.
Oh my God.
The feeling of recapturing what I was passionate about playing MASH when I was a kid.
Oh my God.
Is coming to life right now in every way. This is porn for me.
I don't know what this game this is. I don't know what MASH is, but I like it.
You didn't
it.
Play this when you were a kid?
No, what is
oh
it?
Oh my God. Mansion, apartment, shack, house. You're naming three things. Usually it's just like three cars you drive.
Okay.
Three guys you end up with.
I love
but
it.
But I like to really customize the categories
it.
And then at the end you'll end up with like one of each of these categories based on like a system of elimination.
Okay, here we go. Final thing. In my town, there's the greatest coffee shop in the world. It's the Art Barn Cafe. It's in this tiny little barn. It's in a barn in an apple grove.
Oh
so I'm just going to put in the middle of Los Angeles.
Yes.
I'm going to put in the middle of Los Angeles a cold area where it's always cold.
Oh
and
pornography.
It's in like an apple grove where it smells like apples and it's always like late autumn and they have like cider and they have like cocoa and
you
then
guys.
At night hot guys are singing on like acoustic guitars, but they're not annoying, they're cool, and you can just go play checkers, and that's going to be in the middle of Los Angeles.
I am having like brain and heart orgasms and I'm starting to get physically turned on. Okay.
I can't wait.
This is amazing.
This is happening.
Okay. Next one is you know what? I'm not done. This is a question that I've asked many, many times. I'm not tired of it yet, especially from our conversation.
Yes.
From earlier, three Disneyland rides that somehow are real in some way that you can go into that just are there. It's just like a land that you can make real.
Okay. My first exciting coaster. I love the Thunder Mountain.
Couldn't love it more.
Love Thunder Mountain. I love the idea. Even though I'm not a Western girl, I dragged my mom to Euro Disney and I dragged her on Thunder Mountain and there was like skinny French guys being like, you're going to get in this. Okay. Like they were trying to say, okay. In the corral. So I'm gonna make Thunder Mountain real, and I'm gonna go like prospecting for gold.
Great.
I'm gonna wear a really cute outfit with a big hat to protect my face from the sun.
Great.
Number two, I like the design. I hate being at It's a Small World, but I like the way the dolls look.
Yes, I know. I just want to get out and collect like 50 of them and put them on a wall. I'm not a doll collector by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
And then I want all of their clothes.
Right.
All of their clothes.
I like
every
that it
one
looks,
of their clothes.
They look kind of like Swedish. I like the Swedish design vibe of it. So I agree with you. I have no desire. I don't ever want to go on that ride again, but that would definitely be part of
Small World aesthetic.
Yes,
comes real.
And you know what? I'm gonna also say, I enjoy the vibe of like the teacup tea party. Like I like kind of having like a lady tea party, but not in a sorority way. Like in a kind of a magical Alice in Wonderland.
It's a little
way.
Off. It's a little great.
Yeah, everything's
it's
a little off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's happening. I want to just tell you, I went was in Copenhagen to where the amusement park that was created that inspired Walt Disney to build Disneyland.
Oh God.
It was
Copenhagen's at the top of my list of places I've never been. Everyone who listens to the podcast knows that.
I know. Have you been to Berlin?
No,
I haven't. It's better than Copenhagen.
Really?
We left Copenhagen because we got bored and we went to Berlin. Skip Copenhagen. Well, no, go to Copenhagen.
Gotta
you got to go to that the place. To
yeah.
But then go to, it'll blow your mind. It's actually better visually. It's better visually.
Wow.
You'll love it.
Up to this point, I felt like ambivalent about Berlin.
Oh, no. Mm. And if you go to Berlin, just go to Prenzlauer Berg. There you go. Done. I'll tell you where to stay.
All right. I got to write down whatever you just said because I don't speak German and that meant nothing to me.
Yes.
Okay, this is all gorgeous.
Yeah.
I'm going to go now with... three eras from which you can pull the clothes and wear in whatever context you want. Who cares if no one walks around with a little tiny hat with feathers on it anymore?
Yes.
Doesn't matter.
I love it.
Three eras you can pull.
Okay,
them from
I'm going to say clothes and hair and makeup.
Great. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Goes well.
Number one, 20s. Got to be 20s. Got to go 20s. Got to go 20s. Just like the makeup and the lips and the, it's before the depression.
Yeah.
They're spending money and drinking.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I'm going to go like thin man glamour. Like I'm walking around in my robes. That's also 30s. That's 30s. And then I'm going to say, like French New Wave cinema.
Yes. Absolutely.
French New Wave cinema, which I am not cool enough to pull off. Like, I'd have to hire somebody to come in and do it to me.
Not in this world. You don't even need to hire anyone. Yeah. It's just magically
I would love to magically be cool enough to actually look and like be able to pick it out and not look like an idiot, but I look awesome.
Yeah.
But and like with like raccoon eyeliner and kind of like cool girl, like maybe Marianne Faithful bangs, you know, like giving me like a cool rocker vibe.
Yeah. Yeah, because I feel the same. I feel like when I try to rock that look, ultimately it looks like someone dressed up their puppy.
Yeah, we're
like,
too...
it works for like in a still shot, maybe for a second. Yeah. Then I get super hyper and then it's like...
We're not those girls. We're not that girl.
It's all right.
You know which blonde comedian has that? Who nails it? Nails it. I'm giving a shout out to you, Miss Melinda Hill.
Oh, best hair. She totally does.
Best hair. She's got that.
Interesting. She nails it, but her energy is still pretty upbeat too. So, absolutely. But she just like owns it.
She was born with that head of hair.
Yeah.
And she cuts it right. She cuts it right. She nails it. Nailed it.
Absolutely has it. You're 100%
nailed it.
Right.
You nailed it, Melinda.
100% right.
Support your hair.
Okay. Give me three places in the world that you have a second home.
Yeah. Vermont.
I don't know if you're getting up because you're excited about this game.
I'm excited.
Okay, but that makes me so happy.
I'm so
excited. So Arden is standing, and she stood a couple of moments ago because she is so into these questions, and that could not make me any happier.
Vermont.
Great.
Italy.
Great. Specific area in Italy?
I'm picturing like Capri or something. Great. Mm-hmm. Okay. As much as I hate the sun, I'm going to say I live forever. Can I pick a specific hotel?
Why not? Why not?
At the Coqui in Tulum, Mexico.
Oh, someone else was telling me about Tulum. Mm-hmm, it was really wonderful. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I don't know how you spell Coqui Coqui.
Mm-hmm. Or do I want... No, let's take that back.
Yeah.
I feel like I want more snow.
Yeah, you got Capri.
Yeah. And I've got Vermont.
You got Vermont.
But I feel like I want more snow. I feel like it's like, oh, look, I'm going to the Alps, like Switzerland.
I know, I love Switzerland.
Let's do that. Let's do that. Let's do that. Let's like, I have some cool, like, oh, and I have friends there and I can afford it.
Couldn't love it more. Super into it.
Like near France, like on the French border. So
yeah.
Go to France.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
All right. Three movies that you can just jump into and be in whenever
Dirty
you want.
Dirty Dancing.
Fantastic.
Moonstruck.
So easily had these available. It's like Moonstruck, we played this before.
Moonstruck, 16 candles. Done.
Outstanding.
Thank you.
Outstanding.
Happy birthday, Samantha. Make a wish. But it already came true.
Oh my God.
Are you fucking
kidding? If you were here, you would.
By the way, I've looked him up. He builds furniture now in Pennsylvania. I'm like, how is a guy that hot? And he wore lifts in the movie because he was tiny.
Oh, really?
And he had photos taken of him by that dirty guy that takes him on for Abercrombie & Fish.
Oh, that's very interesting. I can't believe he wore lifts. He really did seem quite tall and very manly.
I know. Heels. He had like Cuban heels.
How old was he when he was supposed to be in college?
78.
Yeah, because I mean, he's like a full grown man in that movie.
If you're as hot as Jake Ryan, and then he was only seen again in Mermaids with Cher,
Winona Ryder. He had sex with Winona Ryder at the top of that cupola.
But then never to be seen again. Never to be seen again. You're Jake Ryan. How bad of an actor are you? I don't know. Builds chairs.
You just love furniture so much.
Yeah.
That's a gorgeous story, though. I'm so glad where we can find him and find his furniture.
We should go buy. You know what? We should buy a chair.
I would.
We should make a web show about you and I making a cross-country journey to go buy a chair from Jake Ryan.
Please know that I would do anything with you in a New York second.
Let's
because we're the same person.
Let's do it.
And in a way that does not intimidate me in any way.
That's
it's just
fun.
Like 100% exciting.
Oh my God. We should drive. We
just
should
go a travel show of like destination. Like that's one destination goal that we have to get there and make that happen, and then we'll also source out other strange reasons to go and get a thing from this person who...
Okay, side note, we'll talk after because I actually have something to say on that.
Okay, great.
Okay,
absolutely wonderful.
Get ready to make your dreams come true.
All due respect to your husband.
Yeah, please. Sure.
I am going to need three gentlemen. They could be crushes from years past. They could be old movie stars. There's no, they don't have to be alive. They don't even have to be. They could be a character out of a movie. But three guys that, what you're going to end up with in this fantasy world.
Mark Ruffalo.
Great. Whitley is so excited by Arden's enthusiasm that she is now getting super intense.
Okay, Mark Ruffalo. Is that really who's coming out of my mouth? Wait a minute. I'm trying to think.
It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea.
Because I've met him before and it's like, ugh, you're Mark Ruffalo. Okay.
It could be also like his, because he has a real life, but in imaginary life, it's his character in da da da.
Okay,
so then
okay.
There's like no attachment. Okay, to the let's sort of be honest.
Okay,
all right.
This is okay. I'll give you a real glimpse into old school. And I look back and I'm like, how did that happen in my brain? I had such a crush on Christian Bale in Little Women when he played.
That's so specific.
He played Lord. Now, present day Christian Bale, I would not. I'm afraid of.
This is Little
Women. I'm afraid of. I would be afraid of him. But
I time love travel. This time travel.
Travel, yeah. River Phoenix, Stand By Me. Done. If I was, I could. I mean, I wouldn't do it as my age, but if I was 12, yep. I mean, what a crush! What a crush I had on him. And then, who like razzles my dazzle? Who just blows my mind? Who's the hottest person in the world? God damn, I can't even. There's been like weird. I mean, who do you like?
I have different people that like from when I was younger. They're all like the sort of and these guys now, like the Kevin Kline, Fish Called Wanda.
Yes.
Era, this sort of like, why do I feel so incredibly passionately about this person?
Yeah.
I have a crush on this actor that I've brought up before named Evan Moss Bacharach, who is in do you know who that is?
No, I just thought of my third one.
Okay.
But who is Evan Moss Bacharach?
He pops up in weird places, but I will give this as a bad example, but it's the first time I saw him in anything. Yeah. He plays, I believe it's Jennifer Goodwin's love interest in Mona Lisa Smile, everyone.
Okay, I'm going to have to look it up. Okay, ready? Get ready. Very specific character.
Love it.
Country Strong.
Country. Wow, okay, never seen
the
it.
The guy who's the lead guy, Garrett Hedlund.
Great.
Just as the character of Country Strong.
Great.
Literally.
He blew your mind.
He blew my mind. He's top dog. He's top dog.
I have no interest in seeing the movie. And
it was terrible. I went as a joke. My friend and I went as a joke. And we were both like, I need to put my mouth on his mouth. Like, are you? Oh, my. And then I met him once. And I was such an idiot. I mean. Yeah. Okay. I have a thing where sometimes if I meet hot guys, like I did when I did Chelsea Lately once, Orlando Bloom was there and he came afterwards in the hallway afterwards. He was like, you were funny. And it was literally like, don't look at me. I'm a monster.
I get it.
I'm a monster.
I totally get it. I'm a monster. When they're that's why I don't even have crush. I can't even be bothered to have crushes on people that attractive.
No, me neither.
It's just too much for me.
I worked with Jared Leto once years ago, Jordan Catalano, who like grabbed my hand and told me I was funny. Like he like held my hand for a second.
Oh no.
And literally it was like
meltdown. All right, God, I have a last category and I put the pressure on myself for the last category.
I love it.
Last category is
anything.
If you okay.
Anything.
All right. I got this.
Be free. Be free. What do you need to know?
I think I need to know. I want a little more imaginary. I just want a little more imagine. Okay. Imaginary best friend, not anyone who's real. So it has to be like a character. It could be a cartoon. Could be like just like Atticus Finch in To Kill a Mockingbird, whatever. But just like a new friend in your life that you will never actually have because it's not an existing person. Or animal. Could be an animal. Could be like, why don't I hang out with Pluto? Or
all right. I just clearly have terrible taste because the first thing I thought of was, Stephen Merchant's character in Extras, the terrible agent.
Hilarious.
Who just like checks off and he seems like he would be horrible to hang out with. He's a terrible agent. I don't know why I'd hang out with an agent.
I love it. I don't know why.
I love it.
I love that popped into your head.
That was the first thing
I love that an improviser is like, listen, I'm going to go with it.
Number two, who do I need? Like, who just comforts me? Who do I just like love so much? Who do I want to adopt me? Who do I want to be best friends with? Oh God. Okay.
I will give you an example of one of mine because you may respond to it. Pretty much any character that Emma Thompson has played because I'm obsessed with her. I just want her to be like,
she was at the
everything's going to be all right.
She was at the sing along.
Say that to me.
She was at the sing along. She was at the sing along. She was at the sing along. Okay. Okay. I'm going to maybe also put this in with like who I want to be.
Sure.
Okay. Carrie Mulligan's part in Education.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to be her. She was so charming. Yeah. The world was her oyster.
Yeah.
I'm sorry my voice is so loud. Whoever's listening, it's so loud. It's I'm so loud. Okay. I just thought she was so lovely and charming. Yeah. And then number three. I'm thinking Woody Allen. I'm thinking, you know who I worked with? I worked with and I just adored Diane Keaton. And she, she reminds me of like she is like Annie Hall. Yes. So I'm gonna put down Annie Hall.
By all means, yes. Okay, I'm going to get you out of here on time. So tell me when to stop. Just
okay, I don't have a watch, so you tell me.
No, you just like, but I mean like literally right now, tell me when to stop.
Okay.
I'm doing something.
Oh, okay.
You have to tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. I'm pausing this. I'm going to do a process of elimination. Then I'm going to announce your future YP.
I'm going
to
paint.
Okay. Okay. Everything that has come to me is, I'm very, very excited about.
I can't wait.
Number one, yes. I'm just going to plow through this because I know you got to get out of here. Number one, I want to congratulate you on your ability to jump into the movie 16 Candles whenever you want.
Oh my God.
I'm very, very envious. And they have to join you on that.
Actually, literally, my hair is standing up on my arms. More. I just got chills.
Oh my God. That's the best. That's the best. And I just want to hang out with her dad. Her dad is so
rad. Oh my God. He was so sweet.
A little like evening by the couch talk when you're
Samantha,
feeling blue.
I know.
Paul Dooley. I'm so obsessed with him.
He's so sweet. And the grandparents.
And then I also want to thank you because I benefit from this greatly as well. Right here in Los Angeles, whenever I want to, I can go to the Art Barn in the middle of an apple grove.
Oh
it's
God,
chilly.
God.
I can sip cider by a fire in the snow. I'm
Can I tell you how excited I am that that exists here
over
now?
Over the moon about that.
We are going to have so much fun.
I also know that I'm going to come play dress up with you in your boudoir of dress up, fun, adult slash kidness.
Yes, yes, yes.
Absolutely amazing.
Yes, 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 yes.
I want to also congratulate you on the fact, and this works very, very well for this, is that you have complete and total access to any 1930s thin man robe.
Yes.
All that kind of glam is right there in your boudoir whenever you want to need it.
Superstar. Jake Ryan's going to love
it. Fantastic. You know what else is in there? The whole aesthetic of It's a Small World has made its way into your world, whether it's the dolls,
that
the
was
closet,
the best one. That was the best
the
one.
Clothes. It's fantastic.
That was the best one.
I'm very, very excited
about that
as well.
It's going to look like the towel in your bathroom.
Yes, exactly. It's going to be perfect. That's a very good one. That's from New Zealand, I think. I also want to congratulate you on the chic Italian apartment you have in Capri.
Oh my God. Wow. That's amazing.
So
that's
well
amazing.
Done on that.
That's
and
amazing.
This works for me because your whole personality, your character, and your dear, dear, dear friendship with Carrie Mulligan's character from An Education.
Oh my God.
You guys are just like zipping around Capri on scooters.
Oh my God. That's so exciting.
And having lunch together and
that's
having
amazing.
A great time.
That's amazing.
And then you head home to make sweet, sweet love to your other husband. Country Strong's great.
Oh my God, that's what I wanted. That was what I wanted. He was the one that rang my bell. He rang my bell. He razzles my dazzle.
So you have had a very, very successful Mash Game indeed. And I feel a very successful podcast overall. You have to be in Culver City. You're going to get in your car right now and drive away.
God.
On the hot, coasting on the high of this fabulous imaginary life we created
what
for you.
What an exciting.
Our new show that we're going to do and the fact that we are sisters, soul sisters.
Oh my God, Janet.
I'm delighted.
Janet.
I'm excited. Thank you so much.
Oh my God.
You can see Arden live doing stand-up. You can see her on
Chelsea Lately. I'm going to be on Legit coming up. I'm a recurring part on Legit.
Fantastic recurring part on Legit. And then on Twitter, you are at
ArdenMarine.com. It looks like Myron.
Looks like Myron, but it's Marine, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening.
Oh
thanks
God.
For this high-energy podcast.
Wow.
I feel like juiced about the day.
I feel excited for the week.
This is great. This
Even
is the best Monday
sunny.
Ever.
This is the best Monday ever.
We did
today,
it. We
today's
did
our
it.
Day.
High five it.
We did it. And there we go.
Bye, guys. As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.